السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. Oh my Lord, expand for me my breast, loosen the knot from my tongue. Make my work easy from me and loosen the knot from my tongue so that they may understand my speech. Rabbi zidna ilma. O my Lord, increase us in knowledge. Allahumma faqihna fid deen. O Allah, grant us the understanding of deen. Allahumma inni as'aluka ilman nafi'a wa amalan mutaqabbala wa rizqan tayyiba. O Allah, indeed I ask you for beneficial knowledge and acceptable deeds and pure provision. Ameen. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. All praise and thanks to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As we start Juz 4, continuing on with Surah Ali Imran, inshallah, the third surah, third longest, and the third surah of the Quran. If you're all ready, sisters, inshallah, we will start from verse 92. I ask for Allah protection from shaitan. I begin in the name of Allah, who is most kind and most merciful. By no means shall you attain al-bir. Bir is what? We've all done this, so you can tell me, what is bir, sisters? Piety. Excellent. Bir is piety, righteousness. You will not attain al-bir. It also means here Allah's reward, paradise. Unless you spend in Allah's cause of that which you love. And whatever of good you spend, Allah knows it well. Subhanallah. All food was lawful to the children of Israel, except what Israel made unlawful for himself before the Torah was revealed. Say, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, bring here the Torah and recite it if you are truthful. So straight away, we are being given two important messages here. Can anyone give me them? What are they? Number one, in verse 92, spending in the way of Allah. Exactly. Give and spend for His reward and His reward only. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is all aware of what you do, what you give and spend. So, self-analysis, look at the quality of our giving. Well, how do I give? Do I give grudgingly, reluctantly, or do I give happily in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's way? Then we're being told here, say, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, bring here the Torah and recite it if you are truthful. The Torah was for the children of Israel. What is our book? How much do I recite the book of Allah? How much do I look at the book of Allah? How close am I to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through this book? Then after that, whosoever shall invent a lie against Allah, such shall indeed be the Zalimeen, Zalimun, the disbelievers. Say, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah has spoken the truth. Follow the religion of Ibrahim alayhi salam, Hanifa. Hanifa, he used to worship Allah alone. What is the other word that we use for Hanifa? Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salam, what word goes with him straight away? He was Khalil. He was Khalil, God, yes, he was friend. But he was focused. Hanifa means focused. Upright, focused. Okay? He didn't go astray. He didn't wander, meander. He didn't drift away from the path that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had given him. Verily, the first house of worship appointed for mankind was that at Bakka. Bakka was the old name for? Excellent. Full of blessing and a guidance for Alameen, for all mankind and jinn. In it are manifest signs. What's manifest? Clear. Good. In it are manifest signs for example, the Makam, the place of Ibrahim alayhi salam. Whoever enters it attains security. And Hajj, pilgrimage to Mecca, to the house of Kaaba, is a duty that mankind owes to Allah, those who can afford the expenses. And that's expenses for transport and for staying there, residence. And whoever disbelieves, denies Hajj, then he is a disbeliever of Allah. And we did this in detail when we covered the tafsir of these ayahs, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't need anything of us. But this is one of the pillars of Islam. And if we deny this, look what how strongly Allah ta'ala is telling us, that one who denies the pilgrimage, then he is a disbeliever of Allah. Then Allah stands not in any need, not in need of any of the alameen, mankind, jinn, on all that exists. Allahu Akbar. The performance of Hajj is an enjoined duty and its superiority. And the statement of Allah that Hajj to the house of Kaaba is a duty that mankind owes to Allah. Subhanallah. Verse 98. Say, O people of the scripture, why do you reject the ayah of Allah? Why do we find we reject the ayah of Allah today? We find this is what's happening around us today. This here, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is addressing the, when I say people of the scripture, who are we referring to? The Jews. And the? Exactly. Why do you reject the ayah? How do they reject? By?
Changing.
By not doing it, exactly. Either by changing or not doing or ignoring. Are we doing this as Muslims of today? Sadly, yes. Say, O people of the scripture. Say, O people of the scripture, why do you reject the ayah of Allah, the proofs, the verses, while Allah is witness to what you do? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is all aware of what you do. Say, O people of the scripture, why do you stop those who have believed from the path of Allah seeking to make it seem crooked while you are witness to Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam as a messenger of Allah and Islam? And Allah is not unaware of what you do. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not unaware. What does that mean then? When we have two negatives like that, what does it mean? He is aware, exactly. He is all aware. What is the attribute for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saying that he's all aware? Right, homework question for you to look it up now, inshallah. Okay? The attribute of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala telling us that he is all aware. We've done this again in detail. Verse 100, O you who believe, if you obey a group of those who were given the scripture, they would indeed render you disbelievers after you have believed. Who's this referring to? They will render you disbelievers if you obey them. Who's that referring to? Firstly, who's the you? If you, us, as Muslims, good, obey a group of those. That's the Jews and the Christians, exactly. And how would you disbelieve while you are recited the verses of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And among you is his messenger, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And whoever holds firmly to Allah follows Islam, Allah's religion, and obeys all that Allah has ordered practically, then he is indeed guided to the right path. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is questioning us, you know, like you say to a child, like, how can you do this? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is asking us, look, you have two things Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is reminding us in verse 101. What are they? You have two things. What are they? So you have the Quran in your hands. You are reciting the Quran. You are reading it for yourselves. and the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So then how can you mess around? How can you go away from this? Fear Allah, do all that He has ordered us and stop all that He has forbidden. Grip Allah's rope, He's telling us here. Behave, come on. Bond together, be together, and listen to what Allah Ta'ala is telling us to do. And then again, He's telling us in verse 102. O you who believe. Who's this to? Ya ayyuhal ladheena. It's a lovely address. It makes us alert. Ding dong. The bell's gone. It's for me and you. Subhanallah. These ayahs are for us. And what is the instruction? Fear society? Fear shaitan? Fear the policeman? No. Fear Allah. O you who believe, fear Allah by doing all that He has ordered and by abstaining from all that He has forbidden, as He should be feared. Obey Him, be thankful to Him and remember Him always, and die not except in a state of Islam. And hold fast, all of you together, to the rope of Allah. And be not divided among yourselves, and remember Allah's favour on you. And remember Allah's favour on you. For you were enemies one to another, but He joined your hearts together. So that by His grace you became, what's the word? You became brethren. What's brethren? Brothers. And you were on the brink of a pit of fire, and He saved you from it. Thus Allah makes His ayah clear to you that you may be guided. Subhanallah. Allah Ta'ala is reminding us that if you adhere to this Quran, then you will be guided. And if you don't, then that's when you slip away. And you're on the brink of what? Does anybody want to be on the brink of any fire? Astaghfirullah, no. Let there rise out of you a group of people inviting to all that is good, enjoining al-ma'ruf. And all Islam orders one to do. And forbidding al-munkar. Question arises, do I do this? Do we do this? Do we encourage youngsters to do the salah? Do we take our children to the masjid, or are we too busy taking them to Disneyland? Are we too busy for Disneyland? We haven't got time for Umrah and Hajj. What are our priorities? Yes? You can ask yourselves. We will be doing constantly, we'll be self-analysing ourselves. Because it's no good just reading. You'll switch off. You need to stop, pause and think. Where am I going? What am I doing? Are we going to be a nation where Islam was 5 centuries ago and is no longer there now, which is so sad. And we can see this around the world, can't we? Let there rise out of you a group. Look, this is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us to do. But we ignored it. We thought, no, we can carry on doing what we feel like doing. And usually the scenario is that we think, oh, I'm all right, Jack, because I'm doing it. But we need to take others with us. We don't want to be in Jannah on our own, do we? Even when you come to a class lesson and you're on your own, you feel, oh, I wish I'd brought my neighbour, I wish my sister was here listening to this. If you go somewhere and you're having a really good time, you think, oh, I wish I'd brought so-and-so too. Is it not true? Let there arise out of you a group of people inviting to all that is good, enjoining al-ma'ruf, and all that Islam orders one to do, and forbid polytheism and disbelief, al-munkar, and all that Islam has forbidden. And it is they who are the successful. We want to be successful. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us how to be successful. Do I do this? Do I fear Allah? Do I have taqwa? And do I stop people from doing anything wrong? Or am I too scared? Because if I'm too scared, that means I'm not fearing Allah, but I'm fearing the people. And be not as those who divided and differed among themselves after the clear proofs had come to them. It is they for whom there is an awful torment. On the day of resurrection, some faces will become white and some faces will become black. As for those whose faces will become black, to them will be said, did you reject faith after accepting it? Who is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talking to here? Exactly. So if we've still not done one of the five pillars of Islam, are we rejecting faith? We just read about Hajj. What am I doing? Am I rejecting faith by ignoring some of the orders of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Then taste the torment in hell for rejecting faith. And for those whose faces will become white, they will be in Allah's mercy. Subhanallah. Here, Allah's mercy is rahmah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but it's particularly used as a noun. What is the noun here? What is Allah's mercy? What is it being referred to? No, they will be in Allah's mercy. What is this Allah's mercy? Paradise. Excellent. Yes. Therein they shall dwell forever. Forever, sisters. Even if we're having a good time here for a short time somewhere, we enjoy it. But this is forever and ever. It's eternal bliss. And we ignore it and we think, don't worry, we'll get there. You have to work for it. We want to go for Umrah, you have to run around, you get the visa, you get the ticket, you get your jabs done, vaccinations. You fulfill your conditions, don't you? And for this lifelong, forever and ever home, we think doesn't matter. We can't do that anymore. Life is short, it's running fast now. That sand out of the timer is going very rapidly. Speed up now, come on. No more thinking we've got plenty of time. These are the verses of Allah. We recite them to you. Verse 108. These are the verses of Allah. We recite them to you, O Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in truth, and Allah wills no injustice to the alameen. And to Allah belongs all that is in the heavens and all that is in the earth, and all matters go back to Allah. Verse 109. If you want to highlight, just highlight 109. Don't highlight the entire verse. You can if you want. Because if you realize, if you can recall and acknowledge this ayah, your matters will definitely change. And to Allah belongs all that is in the heavens and all that is in the earth. When you belong to somebody, you don't misbehave, do you? Does your child with any school misbehave and go in a different uniform? And when you know that all matters will go to the headmaster for that child, when we were students, when we were children, or for our own children, how do they behave? If we're aware that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is whom we belong to, the food I waste at weddings, the extravagant buying I do to fulfill my desires all belong to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and I will be accountable and all matters go back for decision to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Do you think my approach to life will change or not change? It will change, definitely, won't it? Soon as you're aware of this, you will not do anything out of line. And this becomes, what's the other word for this? Sister Saika. Thank you. This becomes taqwa. This is knowing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is all aware and He will question us. You, verse 110. You true believers in Islam and real followers of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and his sunnah are the best of people. Highlight that, everyone. Verse 110, please. Mabruk, sisters, you are the best of people ever raised. Do you feel like that? Do you feel like that? Hands up if you feel you are the best of people. When we look around the world, do we look as if we are the best of people? And you might question yourselves why. And that's because we left the Quran behind. We left the Quran by the side of our bed and carried on instead. Sisters, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us that you are the best of peoples ever raised up for mankind. You enjoin, why are you the best? Because you enjoin al-ma'ruf. You tell people what is good and you forbid al-munkar. And you forbid all that Islam has forbidden. And you believe in Allah. Look at the three conditions to be the best of people. Write them down. Number one, you encourage good. You stop evil. And you believe in Allah. It's not just enough to say the kalma, is it? It's not just enough to say I believe. You have to have something to go with it. Is it enough to just say that I go to that certain Manchester uni and that's it? And not go and not do anything? Is it? Is it?
No.
No. And had the people of the scripture believed, it would have been better for them. Among them are some who have faith, some, but most of them are what? Fasiqoon, disobedient to Allah and rebellious against Allah's commands. Sadly, is this not what we see today in society? Instead of being the best, we've become rebellious. Where does it say do this? Where does it say don't have interest? Where does it say cover up? This is all we're doing is rebelling, constantly asking too many questions, constantly debating on petty issues and not even knowing the ayahs of the Quran. They will do you no harm, barring a trifling annoyance. Barring meaning except for a bit of annoyance. And if they fight against you, they will show you their backs and they will not be helped. They will not be helped. Indignity is put over them. Wherever they may be, except when under a covenant of protection from Allah. And from men they have drawn on themselves the wrath of Allah. What is the wrath?
Anger.
Good. And destruction is put over them. This is because they disbelieved in the ayah of Allah and killed the prophets without right. This is because they disobeyed Allah and used to transgress. What's transgress? Used to transgress? Cross the boundaries. They used to transgress beyond bounds in Allah's disobedience, crimes and sins. But then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us straight away here that they're not all the same. Not all of them are alike. A party of them, or a group of them, should we say, a party of the people of the scripture stand for the right. They recite the verses of Allah during the hours of the night, prostrating themselves in prayer. Question arises, do we do that? Look, Allah is telling us that the group of the Jews and the Christians do this. Do I? They believe in Allah. When you believe in someone, something, what will be your attitude?
Follow.
You want to behave as they want you to behave. Yes? They believe in Allah and the last day. They enjoin al-ma'ruf and following the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, forbid al-munkar. See how many times in just a few ayahs we have had this repeatedly. Stopping. You see, it doesn't seem big, but stopping evil and doing good. If we'd been doing this all along for the last 30, 20 years, would society had been in a mess as it is today? Were our older generation doing this? Were they stopping evil? They were. But as soon as we gave up that role, we've messed it up, haven't we? We're too scared to stop evil because we're embarrassed or don't want to be called the baddie. Allah Ta'ala is telling us again and again in just a few ayahs. Stop evil. Encourage good. And following Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, forbid al-munkar. And they hasten. This is now another quality to add on to our list. And what is it? And they hasten in all good works. They hasten. What's the hasten word? You tell me, girls. No, in Arabic, sorry. What's the speed up? Exactly. وَيُسَّارِعُونَ فِي الْخَيْرَاتِ وَأُولَٰئِكَ مِنَ الصَّالِحِينَ. And they are among the righteous. They hasten in good works. And that is again bringing in taqwa. We will bring taqwa in constantly, inshallah. That when you are knowing, when you are aware that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is watching, all matters are going back to Him, everything belongs to Him, then when you've been to a Quran class, a Quran session, how can you go back and do anything out of line? You will hasten to do good works. You will rush off to the hospital to go and see your neighbour or your friend. You want to do that. You can't sit around bone idle. You can't be listening to music and watching TV. If you know that this life is short and Allah Ta'ala is telling me to do something good, see, then you value, you think, I have this 1 hour. How can I multiply this hour into many more so that I benefit in dunya and in akhirah? Would you create any ill feelings with that neighbour if you've been to see her in hospital? No. Would you feel guilty when she sees you in the road next week when she's back from hospital? No. So that is the plus points in the dunya. And obviously the reward with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is immense. But they don't think, oh, I'll do it in a bit. They don't wait. What do they do? What is the crucial word in this verse? They hasten. Yusari'una. Sisters, for who have arrived a little late, what we're doing today is a rehearsal, inshallah, for just four. So it's also practice for you for your test, inshallah. And we're going through for Ramadan practice. So we're now actually on verse 115 of Surah Al Imran. And whatever good they do, nothing will be rejected of them. Subhanallah. When you do it with the right intention, look at this, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saying, if they believe and they follow all these points in verse 114, whatever good they do, nothing will be rejected of them. For Allah knows well those who are the muttaqeen, the pious. What is the root? What do they have, the muttaqeen? Loud and clear, so it's in the recording. So it's in the recording as well. Please, again, everybody. What does a muttaqi have? Taqwa. And how do you get that? When you attach with the Quran. We didn't have this same taqwa before we opened the Quran like this, did we? But now when you're reading it again and again, that Allah Ta'ala is the master, that He, everything belongs to Him. He is watching us. He is all aware. All decisions will go back to Him. Then our taqwa, our levels of iman are boosted and change. And whatever good they do, nothing will be rejected. For Allah knows well those who are the muttaqeen, the pious. Surely those who reject now the people of the other side, sadly. Surely those who reject faith, disbelieve in Allah and in Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam as being Allah's messenger and in all that which he sallallahu alaihi wasallam has brought to us from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. all that which he has brought to us, neither their properties nor their offspring. Neither their, give me two other words for these two words, please. Properties, give me another word. Neither their properties, neither their? Yeah, so what's the word for in English? Another word.
Wealth.
Wealth, good. Nor their offspring, nor their children will avail them, will benefit them aught against Allah. So none of it will make, give them any benefit against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, not even a tiny bit. Aught meaning zero. They are the dwellers of the fire. In it they will abide. Therein they will abide. The lightness of what they spend in this world is the lightness of a wind which is extremely cold. It struck the harvest of a people who did wrong against themselves and destroyed it. The good deed of a person is only accepted if he is a monotheist and believes in all the prophets of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, including Christ and Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This will again clarify questions that are raised often by people in this society. What happens to the other people who believe but they don't believe? They believe in some of the things of the Bible or the Torah, but they don't believe in Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us here. Allah wronged them not, but they wronged themselves. O you who believe, take not as your advisors, bidana, advisors, consultants, those outside your religion, and since they will not fail to do their best to corrupt you, since they will not fail again, two negative words. What does that mean then? They will do their best. Do you get it? They will not fail to do their best. They will try their utmost to corrupt you. They desire to harm you severely. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us this so many years ago. 14 centuries ago. But because we didn't pick up the Quran, because we didn't read it, we love them, but they love you not, in other words. And we still love to do their Valentines and Christmases and Easter eggs. And yet, they don't eat dates like we eat dates in Ramadan, do they? They don't fast like we fast. Sisters, we love to copy them, and yet Allah Ta'ala is telling us here, they will not fail to do their best to corrupt you. And is that what we see? Do we not see that in society today? Our children, are they not corrupt? Sadly to say, our children, are they corrupt? I can't hear you.
Yes.
Sadly to say, are we distracted by their ways? Sisters, it's important that you respond so that I get it into your recording, because also it will be sadaqah jariyah for you all as well. Do you want this as a sadaqah jariyah, that your evidence on the Day of Judgment that this sister spoke out on this day? Yes?
Yes.
Sisters, they desire to harm you severely. Hatred has already appeared from their mouths, but what their... Now, you see, Allah Ta'ala is saying, they spoke about it. They talk about Islamophobia. They'll talk about it from their mouth. They say openly they don't like Muslims or whatever you want to call, whatever the words are being used these days. They desire to harm you severely. Hatred has already left their mouths, appeared from their mouths. But what their breasts conceal is far worse. So some of it you don't even see, but it's far worse. But yet, we still are, what would be the word here? Fill in the blank, please. We are still ignorant. Good. Another one. We are still blank to copy them. We are still, another word, Sister Saika.
Following them.
Okay, stupid. We're still so stupid, ignorant, eager, that we want to copy them, astaghfirullah. They desire to harm you severely. Hatred has already appeared from their mouths, but what their breath conceals is far worse. Indeed, we have made plain to you, clear, the ayah, the proofs, the evidences, if you understand. Now, the talk by Saza only on Monday was explore your intelligence. Who explores the intelligence? The one who understands the Quran. We had so many beautiful examples. That talk was so inspiring, mashallah. That, yes, we want to be intelligent, but we all look at intelligence from tiny different beings, different angles. And we always usually just consider one angle as being it. But Allah Ta'ala tells us in the Quran, those who understand are the ones who reflect on the ayahs, the signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, either by the universe, the Quran, or ideally both, people of understanding. So think about it yourselves. What am I reflecting on? Am I intelligent, or am I still being ignorant by ignoring the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told us in hadith, don't imitate their ways. Lo, you are the ones who love them. Look at this. Now, again, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us this in the Quran. You are the ones who love them, but do they love you as well? Why not? But they love you not. Subhanallah. They will criticize, they will mock at your ways, they will say, why are you wearing a scarf? There's one particular colleague I remember at work, when I worked, would constantly say to me, why don't you take it off? You look younger without it. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. Subhanallah. Constant distraction. And I said, no. Sisters, you are the ones who love them. Now, if you find it hard to keep away from their ways, highlight these few lines. The first two lines, please. If you find it hard to not give a Valentine's card, not to keep away from Christmas cards, Christmas cakes, whatever. If you are the ones who love them, they love you not. And you believe in all the scriptures. You believe in the Torah and the Injil, the Gospel and the Torah. Well, they disbelieve in your book, the Quran. And they, when they meet you, they say, we believe. Subhanallah. But when they're alone, they bite the tips of their fingers at you in rage. When does one bite the tips of their fingers? Nail biting. Mm-hmm. Agitated. When they are? Or? Fuming. They're fuming with you. They don't like it. That's why they're trying to distract Islamophobia. All this, they don't like our, what don't they like about our what? What do we have that they don't have?
Unity. We have unity.
Unity.
Mm-hmm.
Iman, our faith. But how does it come across in our? Exactly, in our tranquility. Our calmness. Our disposal of affairs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They can't handle this. In our iman. And when they meet you, they say, we believe. So they even pretend for a short time, but in private, when they are alone. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Could it have been any clearer, the Quran? Sisters at the back, could this have been any clearer?
No.
But when they're alone, they bite the tips of their fingers at you in rage, say, perish in your rage. Certainly Allah knows what is in the breasts, all the secrets. And if a good befalls you, it grieves them, but if some evil overtakes you, they rejoice at it. But if you remain patient and become al-muttaqoon, muttaqeen, the pious, see not the least harm will their cunning do to you. So again, we are being told to remain patient, and this might be people around us who are disturbing us. Okay? Because they're away from the Quran. And this will happen. Tests will come. But what does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tell us to do? Remain patient. Oh, Rafi, remember this. Highlight this. remain patient and become muttaqun. Sisters, become pious. Surely Allah surrounds all that they do. So this brings us to the end of the first part, alhamdulillah, of this juz. In a nutshell, just a few quick lessons for us to self-analyze ourselves. What do I do? Do I stop evils or do I join in? Am I obedient or disobedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Do I rebel? Do I transgress? Do I cross Allah's limits? And for all of these, it should be do not, do not, do not. Do not be disobedient, do not rebel, do not cross Allah's limits, do not encourage evil, do not join in evil. Prove it that I am the best of nations. Now we start our favourite part, I should say, after having studied Surah Al Imran in our classes of Tafsir, we will study now what we're going to start, everybody, the battle of? Excellent. So from verse 121 onwards, inshallah. And remember when you, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, left your household in the morning to post the believers at their stations for the battles of Uhud. Your papers are making a lot of noise, they'll all go into the recording. So can you try and be careful when you turn in your pages, please? Jazakallah khair. And remember when you, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, left your household in the morning to post the believers at their stations for the battle of Uhud. And Allah is all hearer. Oh, Noah, when two parties from among you were about to lose heart, but Allah was their relief, supporter and protector. And in Allah should the believers put their trust. And Allah has already made you victorious at Badr. When you were a weak little force, so fear Allah much that you may be grateful. Remember when you, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, said to the believers, is it not enough for you that your Lord should help you with 3,000 angels sent down? Yes, if you hold on to patience and piety. If you hold on to patience and piety and the enemy comes rushing at you, your Lord will help you with 5,000 angels having marks of distinction. Subhanallah. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is reminding them what to do, who to trust. Remember that you won at Badr, so don't lose heart now. Verse 126. Allah made it not but as a message of good news for you and as an assurance to your hearts. And there is no victory except from Allah, the Almighty, the All-Wise. That He might cut off a part of those who disbelieve or expose them to infamy, so that they retire frustrated. Not for you, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but for Allah is the decision whether He turns in mercy to them or punishes them. Verily they are the zalimun. This is when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam felt saddened and upset. Few points that they hadn't listened and that he'd been hurt and that the enemy had attacked. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was saying this decision, whether they turn to Islam, whether they are guided or not, is Allah's decision. And to Allah belongs all that is in the heavens and all that is in the earth. He forgives whom He wills and punishes whom He wills. And Allah is oft forgiving, most merciful. So again and again, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is reminding us that don't despair. Turn to Him. He's the one who forgives. Turn to Him. And never think that He won't. He is oft forgiving. You see, here again, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala could have used some other attribute, but He's reminding us that He is oft forgiving, most merciful. All decisions and victory are from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone. This reminder. Okay? As we go on to a slightly different ayah now, for a reason like we discussed before, just quickly here, question arises, who do I trust in? Do I trust in my neighbour or my friend, or do I trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Do I turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in times of need? Here the lesson for us is that I am Allah's friend. How do I get to know what He wants of me? How do I know He's happy with me if He allows us to continue with what we're doing? Verse 130. O you who believe, our favourite address again. What is it, everybody? What is it, O you who believe in Arabic? Eat not riba, doubled and multiplied, but fear Allah that you may be successful. We have the famous hadith here from Sahih al-Bukhari, volume 4, hadith number 28. Narrated Abu Huraira, may Allah be pleased with him. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, avoid the 7 great destructive sins. We could all roll them off, can't we? What's number 1? What's the first destructive sin? Shirk. The people inquired, O Allah's Messenger, what are they? He, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, said, number 1, to join others in worship along with Allah. Number 2, to practice sorcery. Number 3, to kill a person which Allah has forbidden, except for a just cause. Number 4, to eat up riba, usury, interest. Number 5, to eat up an orphan's wealth. Number 6, to show one's back to the enemy and fleeing from the battlefield at the time of fighting. 7, to accuse chaste women who never even think of anything touching their chastity and are true believers. Verse 131, and fear the fire which is prepared for the disbelievers. Again, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminds us that this fire was not for the believers. So don't go near it. Don't do anything that will take us towards that direction. Fear the fire which is prepared for the disbelievers. And obey Allah, subhanAllah. How are you going to be a believer? By doing what you feel like doing? No. By obeying Allah. Highlight this, one of my favourite ayahs. Verse 132, please. وَأَطِيعُوا اللَّهَ وَالرَّسُولَ وَأَطِيعُوا اللَّهَ وَالرَّسُولَ لَعَلَّكُمْ تُرْحَمُونَ. And obey Allah and the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam that you may obtain mercy. And march forth in the way which leads to forgiveness from your Lord and for paradise, subhanAllah. As wide as the heavens and the earth, prepared for the muttaqeen, the pious. Question arises, after having studied the Quran now, after looking at these verses, do I feel I'm getting closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Or am I still floating amongst society? Am I still on the track of shaitan? Or am I now becoming with the pious, closer to the pious and the Salihin. Attaining taqwa means leaving sins. Attaining taqwa means changing. Attaining taqwa means no more messing around. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then gives us some more instructions of how. What are these qualities? Who are these for? Who is this paradise for? Who is this marching forward for forgiveness? Those, verse 1, 3, 4. We started off with spending. Spend, what was the start off in verse 92? Spend what? Out of what you love, exactly. And is that just money, everybody? No. Spending out of your time, energy, effort. Money, yes. But even coming here, your qurbani, your sacrifice, your emotions, your family are at home, it's holiday time, but you still make the effort to come here in Allah's way. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to see that. Everybody can do it on a day off. Husband's working away, no problem, I'm not bothered, I'll come into work, into class. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows the value of that. There was nobody at home, I had nothing to do, so I came in. He wants to see, do I come in when everybody is there? Is my bond stronger? This is loving Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala more than anything else. And going against the flow of society. Everybody else is doing what they want to do. Pleasing themselves and their desires and their whims. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, look, those who spend in Allah's cause in prosperity and in adversity. That reminds me of our event a little bit on Monday. We didn't have to feed those people. But why did we do it? Because we wanted to do it as Allah's guests. I know you spent many, many hours preparing beforehand and afterwards. But why? Because it was a da'wah. If it was a da'wah at your house, would you not have cleared up? You would. Sisters, would you have done? Here, this da'wah was special because it was for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It was in the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It was the guests of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Did we charge them anything? Not a penny. We don't want it. Because why? Who do you want the reward from? Who do you want the money from? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will pay you back. Either in this dunya in one way or another. Or in the akhirah. Sisters. This spending in Allah's way. Nobody told me to go out and buy any sweets or anything. We didn't have to do the tea, did we? Why do you want to do it? Do we not serve tea to our guests at home? Hands up if you serve tea to your guests at home. We do, don't we? And even after you've made a full wakki meal, you still go and put the tea on and give them tea, don't you? You give them sweets, don't you? Sisters, this is special when you're doing it for the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We need this inside us to keep us going. That gives you the energy. Then you don't feel tired at midnight. As some of you will be aware, I was still dishing out the food till 11:30 that night. After having taken the guest to the station. The reason why I share that with you, I was up till quite late. Why do I share that? Because you don't feel tired. I want to share the inspiration, the motivation. I'm not doing it for any of you. I'm not doing it for myself. I know it's the cause is worthy. It's special. They were more valuable to me than any other guest that comes to my house. They have come for the house of Allah. Do you understand? Do you see the difference? And look, because we've done these ayahs. Those who spend in Allah's cause in prosperity and in adversity. He knows whether I have that money in my bag or not. But He gives, He provides. Who repress anger. So something might get you cross, but you don't do a tantrum. You don't go become a... You don't make a fool of yourself. You don't just go and dump all the things somewhere in a bad mood. You repress your anger. You control yourself. Okay, maybe that other sister's having more problems than I am. Than I have. Maybe she's given me these things for a reason. Think about it. Are we being considerate or not? We've done these ayahs. We need to reflect. We need to show it in our practical exercise. It's easy to say sorry afterwards, but the best control is the one initially. Those who spend in Allah's cause in prosperity and in adversity, who repress anger and who pardon men. What does pardon men mean? Forgive, overlook their faults. Okay, somebody made a mistake. But okay, we pardon them. They're human. Verily Allah loves the good doers. We all want to be good doers, but we want to be good doers without these qualities beforehand. We want to shout and rave and rant, and then we want to be a good doer. We don't want to say, forgive anybody. We think we're the ones who are the victims, but we want to be a good doer. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, do these things and be a good doer. And those who, when they have committed illegal sexual intercourse or wrong themselves with evil, remember Allah and ask forgiveness for their sins. And none can forgive sins but Allah. And do not persist in what they have done while they know. While they know. For such the reward is forgiveness from their Lord. Subhanallah. So once they've done all these things, then Allah Ta'ala says, what's their reward? Just 10, 15 pounds here? Nah. For them, the reward is forgiveness. We're all in search of forgiveness, aren't we? We all want Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's forgiveness. And gardens with rivers flowing underneath, in which they shall abide forever. How excellent is this reward for the doers who do righteous deeds according to Allah's orders. Subhanallah. Subhanallah. Many similar ways were faced by nations that have passed away before you, as you have faced in the battle of Uhud. So travel through the earth and see what was the end of those who disbelieved and disobeyed. This is the Quran. This is a plain statement. This, the Quran, is a plain statement for mankind, a guidance and instruction to those who are the muttaqeen. Again and again, subhanAllah. In fact, I've not done it before, but from now, if you can just highlight all the muttaqeen that keep coming in. You can do that later for your homework as well, inshallah, the ones who've missed. So do not become weak against your enemy, nor be sad. What have we done? We've surrendered, we've given in, we've become... We start making... What do? Making excuses, isn't it? Allah Ta'ala is telling us, don't become flimsy or making, you know, compromising. Yeah, sorry, yeah, you're right, okay. My daughter won't wear hijab for school if you say so. Allah Ta'ala says, so don't become weak against your enemy, nor be sad, and you will be superior, you'll be victorious. You'll be superior in victory if you are indeed true believers. If a wound and killing has touched you, if you feel hurt, then remember a similar wound and killing has touched the others. And so are the days, good and not so good. Allah Ta'ala is reminding us all that, look, after night this day, after day this night, with ups and downs, disease. There's hardships in life, but persevere. And so are the days good and not so good. We give to men by turns, that Allah may test those who believe, and that He may take martyrs from among you. And Allah likes not the zalimeen. The zalimeen. Who are the zalimeen? Wrongdoers, or the polytheists. Why are they called the Zalimeen? Because they are doing wrong. They have got shirk, they've got partners with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that Allah may test or purify the believers from sins and destroy the disbelievers. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to test us and purify us. So when there's any ailment, any illness, any disease, any pain, any adversity at home, any conflict, just remember, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala just wants to see how strong you are. A diamond is not without being pressured. Remember, gold, a bullet of gold, biscuit of gold. What do you call it? A gold bullet? Gold, what they call it? Gold bars. How did they become beautiful jewelry? With hammers. The jeweler, the goldsmith, is constantly tap, 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 banging away at it to make it into a beautiful masterpiece. Is it not true? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is banging you. You will get these bangs from your relatives, your husband, your brother, your sister, your in-laws, your son, your child. But he wants to see how strong are you. I need to go to my class. I'm going to my class. Holidays or no holidays, I don't care. My Lord, my Quran, my things come before anything else. And at the same time then, your taqwa, your fear will make you aware that you need to cook and clean and do all those duties for them as well. You're not going to slip away in those then, are you? Do you think that you will enter paradise? Do you think you will enter paradise before Allah tests those of you who fought in His cause and tests those, and Allah also tests those who are the patient? Subhanallah. We will take a break. We'll stop there for a pause there for a bit, inshallah. At the end of verse, test those who are the sabireen. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Welcome you all back to part 2 of Tilz 4, inshallah, as you continue from verse 144. I ask for Allah's protection from shaitan. I begin in the name of Allah, who is most kind and most merciful. Verse 143. 143 onwards, yes? You did indeed wish for death, martyrdom, before you met it. Now you have seen it openly with your own eyes. Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is no more than a messenger. And indeed, many messengers have passed away before him. If he dies or is killed, will you then turn back on your heels as disbelievers? And he who turns back on his heels, not the least harm will he do to Allah. And Allah will give reward to those who are grateful. This, as you will recall, were the verses revealed when the rumour spread that the Prophet ﷺ had been killed. It was a false rumour because the companion who looked very similar resembled the Prophet ﷺ. His name was... A homework question for you all was Musab. Sisters, the rumour spread because he had been killed. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, look, no difference will it make to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but is that what you will do? No person can ever die except by Allah's leave and at an appointed term. And whoever desires a reward in this world, we shall give it him. We shall give him of it. And whoever desires a reward in the hereafter, we shall give him thereof. And we shall reward the grateful. And many a prophet fought, and along with him fought large bands of religious learned men. But they never lost heart for that which did befall them in Allah's way, nor did they weaken or degrade themselves. So again, if any event makes you a bit tired, don't lose heart. This is in Allah's way. And again, just remember a dawat at home when you're doing it on your own. Here you had a team of all these burgundy scarf, beautiful sisters to work together. And this was to work in Allah's way. So don't find it difficult. Don't get distressed by anything. Don't lose heart for that which did befall them in Allah's way, nor did they weaken or degrade themselves. And Allah loves the patient. So again and again, patient and taqwa. Sisters, how patient are we? Because patience in the morning, at the start of a day is easy. We're all fresh and we're happy. It's that patience at night. Do you persevere and carry on? And they said nothing but our Lord, forgive. Beautiful dua again. Can we highlight the dua, please? and they said nothing but, "Our Lord, forgive us our sins and our transgressions in keeping our duties to you. Establish our feet firmly and give us victory over the disbelieving folk." Can you all recite the dua please in Arabic? Mashallah, good, but that was one or two sisters. Can we have everybody together now? Rabbana. Everybody. So Allah gave them the reward of this world and the excellent reward of the hereafter. And Allah loves the muhsineen. O you who believe, if you obey those who disbelieve, they will send you back on your heels, and you will turn back from your faith as losers. Sisters, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is warning us that if you listen to them. So the question arises, how many times do I go back on my heels when I am obeying those who disbelieve? Very clear, isn't it, in verse 149? Nay, Allah is your Mawla. He is your helper, your protector, and he is the best of helpers. Question arises, do I consider Allah as my helper, or am I too embarrassed to face him? Because you can only go to somebody for help when you have a rapport with them, when you have a relationship with someone. I can only ask for help from those that I feel comfortable with. True? If you miss your fajr, if you miss your salah, you don't cover yourselves properly like you meant to. Can you turn to Allah for help? You misbehave at the wedding at the weekend. Can you turn to Allah for help on a Monday morning? We shall cast terror into their hearts of those who disbelieve because they joined others in worship with Allah. And this could be your nafs, this could be your society, your kids, whoever. We think we never did shirk. We don't go to a temple and worship idols, but this can be lots of things, so be careful. We shall cast terror into the hearts of those who disbelieve because they joined others in worship with Allah. So this could be terror of our children, of our families, for which he had sent no authority. Their abode will be the fire, and how evil is the abode of the zalimeen. And Allah did indeed fulfill his promise to you when you were killing them. When you were killing them, i.e. your enemy, with his permission, until the moment you lost your courage and fell to disputing about the order and disobeyed after he showed you of the booty. So this was the love of the wealth that distracted the Sahaba and the companions at Uhud. As a result, there was a war that they were winning, they had won, went turned into defeat, turmoil, mayhem, and injury, and the loss of lives. Sadly to say. How many times do we do this? We lose our own selves because of the love of the wealth, love of the dunya. You lost your courage and fell to disputing about the order and disobeyed after he showed you of the booty which you love. Among you some that desire this world and some that desire the hereafter. Just take a pause and have a think. What do my du'as always ask for? The dunya or the akhirah? Am I always asking for a new car, new dress, money, wealth, children's rishta? Whatever, proposals for my kids, bigger, better house. What am I focused, am I du'as focused for the akhirah? Then he made you flee from them, your enemy, that he might test you, but surely he forgave you, and Allah is most gracious to the believers. And remember when you ran away dreadfully, without even casting a side glance at anyone, and the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam was in your rear calling you back? There did Allah give you one distress after another, by way of requital to teach you not to grieve for that which had escaped you. How many times do we grieve over something? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is teaching us here. I gave you that to teach you. It's gone, it's happened. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. Thank the Lord for what you have. To teach you not to grieve for that which had escaped you, nor for that which had befallen you. And Allah is well aware of all that you do. Then, after the distress, He sent down security for you, subhanAllah. Slumber overtook a party of you. Remember when they had that short catnap? Slumber overtook a party of you while another party was thinking about themselves as how to save their own selves, ignoring the others and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So that's what they'd done. And they thought wrongly of Allah, the thought of ignorance. They said, have we any part in the affair? Say, O Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, indeed the affair belongs wholly to Allah. They hide within themselves what they dare not reveal to you, saying, if we had anything to do with the affair, none of us would have been killed here. So they were the hypocrites who hadn't gone, and they were relieved, remember? And, you know, we would have died as well. Say, even if you had remained in your homes, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is all aware of those secret talks, their consultations, their private chats. You know, when you're private chatting and texting, do you think nobody's watching? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is reminding us in these verses, He knows what's going on. Say, they hide within themselves what they dare not reveal to you, saying, if we had anything to do with the affair, none of us would have been killed here. Say, even if you had remained in your homes, those for whom death was decreed would certainly have gone forth to the place of their death. This again proves to us that wherever you may hide, wherever you may be doing, if death is destined for you at that time, at that place, it will happen. And if it's not meant to be at that place, but it's that time, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make sure you get there, one way or another. Is it not true? How many times do we hear of accidents? Those children were not meant to be driving that car. They were not meant to be there. But they were. Because their death was designed there, it happened that way. Oh, that auntie so-and-so, she'd come from the homeland. She'd only come here for 2 weeks and she's died here. Or vice versa. Even if you had remained in your homes, those for whom death was decreed would certainly have gone forth to the place of their death, but that Allah might test what is in your breasts and to purify that which was in your hearts. And Allah is all knower of what is in your breasts. Verse 155, those of you who turned back on the day the two hosts met, the Battle of Uhud. It was Shaitan who caused them to backslide, to run away, because of some sins they had earned. Remember, it's our sins that make us tired in Quran class, make us tired in Salah. So think about it, reflect. What sin have I done that's preventing me from absorbing this? Shaitan will distract us in doing good deeds. Allah Ta'ala is telling us here again. But Allah indeed has forgiven them. Surely Allah is oft forgiving, most forbearing. O you who believe, be not like those who disbelieve, the hypocrites, and who say to their brethren when they travel through the earth or go out to fight, if they had stayed with us, they would not have died or been killed. What word does not exist in the vocabulary of a believer? Thank you. Well done. You'll get a prize for that, mashallah. If, no such thing for a believer. If they had stayed with us, they would not have died or been killed. So that Allah may make it a cause of regret in their hearts. It is Allah that gives life and causes death. And Allah is all seer of what you do. And if you are killed or die in the way of Allah, forgiveness and mercy from Allah are far better than all that they gather. Amas means gather of worldly wealth. And whether you die or are killed, verily, unto Allah you shall be gathered. Highlight verse 158, because again, this is a very important ayah that will put us in our track, will perfect our behavior, inshallah. Whatever messing around you're doing, you shall be gathered to Allah. However much you may run away from the truth today, whether you die or whether you're killed, the return is to Allah. You shall be gathered unto Allah. And by the mercy of Allah, you dealt with them gently. And you have been severe and harsh-hearted. They would have broken away from about you. So pass over their faults and ask Allah's forgiveness for them. And consult them in the affairs. Then when you have taken the decision, put your trust in Allah. Question arises, do I put my trust in Allah? Do I put my trust in Allah? Put your trust in Allah. Certainly Allah loves those. SubhanAllah. This brings a smile on everybody's face. Because if you said yes to the first question, then Allah loves those who put their trust in Him. When we send our children off, when we all disperse in the morning for different things, do we put our trust in Allah that we're all going to return like birds at night? If Allah helps you, none can overcome you. And if He forsakes you, leaves you, who is there after Him that can help you truly? Allah is making us think and asking us this rhetorical question. Look, if He doesn't help you, is there anyone that can help you, sisters? Is there anyone that can help you?
No.
No. And in Allah alone, let believers put their trust. Verse 161. It is not for any prophet to take illegally a part of the booty. This was on that misunderstanding that took place. Remember? And whosoever deceives his companions as regards the booty, he shall bring forth on the day of resurrection that which he took illegally. Then every person shall be paid in full what he has earned, and they shall not be dealt with unjustly. Remember the hadith? Sahih al-Bukhari, volume 4, hadith number 307. I'd like you to look that up. I've given you the reference, Sahih al-Bukhari, volume 4, hadith number 307, and I want you to look it up and write it in, please. It was narrated by Abu Huraira about the hadith of the man who stole, and then on that day he will have it hanging on the day of resurrection around his neck. Good. Sahih al-Bukhari, volume 4, hadith number 307. Verse 162, is there one who follows the good pleasure of Allah by not taking illegally a part of the booty, like the one who draws on himself the anger, the wrath of Allah, by taking a part of the booty illegally, by stealing? His abode is hell, and worst indeed is that destination. They are in varying grades with Allah, and Allah is all-seer of what they do. Indeed, Allah conferred a great favor on the believers when He sent among them a messenger, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Question arises, do I think of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's sunnah as a favor, or do I tell my children off when they have a beard? Do I dislike it when my husband keeps a beard? Do I find it hard to sit on the floor and eat? Do I find it hard to use my hands to eat? These are small but important sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Do I fast on Mondays and Thursdays? Do I follow the sunnah or not? Look at this. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us it's a favor on the believers. How do I look at the sunnah? How do I follow the hadith? Is it a favor or is it not? Astaghfirullah. We should thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for this favor. Indeed, Allah. And what is the best way of being thankful? How do you thank something for something? How do you thank someone? By? To act upon it, exactly. By using it. Indeed, Allah conferred a great favor on the believers when He sent among them a messenger, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, from among themselves. Look at all these things that He taught us to do, that He did. Point form, please. Reciting unto them His verses, number one. Number two, purifying them from sins and instructing them in the book of the Quran. In the books of Quran and the Sunnah, the wisdom, hikmah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. While before that they had been in clear error. Before that they had been in clear error. What is the matter with you? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is asking us now, making us think, come on, what's the problem? What's the matter with you? What is this approach? Who talks like this to us normally?
As a mother,
exactly. Well done, yes, sister Farah. Well done, Mashla. What is the matter with you? When a single disaster smites you, although you smote your enemies with one twice as great, you say, from where does this come to us? Say to them, it is from yourselves, because of your evil deeds. And Allah has power over all things. So as soon as you're in the slightest of trouble, you get distressed. As long as it's all rosy-cosy, we are happy. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has reminded us. And what you suffered of the disaster on the day, on the battle of, and what you suffered of the disaster on the day of the Battle of Uhud, when the two armies met, was by the leave of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in order that He might test the believers, and that He might test the hypocrites. It was said to them, come fight in the way of Allah, or defend yourselves. They said, had we known that fighting will take place, we would certainly have followed you. They were that day nearer to disbelief than to faith, saying with their mouths what was not in their hearts. And Allah has full knowledge of what they conceal. What is conceal? If we're hiding any grudges, any filth in our hearts, who's watching it? Who's seeing it? Is it not best to get it clean now? Is it not best to get rid of it?
Not only best, I think we must.
Any ill feelings with anyone? Let's make that a homework for today. If you've got any ill feelings with anybody today, go and make friends with them. Forgive them. Overlook them. Repress that anger. We've seen so many lessons today. Be patient. Move on. And Allah has full knowledge of what they conceal. Is it not best to clean that heart that Allah sees all the time? Verse 168. They are the ones who said about their killed brethren while they themselves sat at home, if only they had listened to us. So again, they're saying the same thing. They would not have been killed. Say, avert death from your own selves if you speak the truth. If you think you're so clever, then okay. Avert death from yourselves. So now, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this was the attitude of the hypocrites, remember? Who was the leader of the hypocrites, everybody?
Abdullah bin Ubay.
Good. Excellent. Think not of those who are killed. Now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, so the people that you thought were killed, look about. This is how you need to look at them. Think not of those who are killed in the way of Allah as dead. Nay, they are alive with their Lord, and they have provision. They rejoice in what Allah has bestowed upon them of His bounty, and rejoice for the sake of those who have not yet joined them. but are left behind, I not yet martyred, that on them no fear shall come, nor shall they grieve. They rejoice in a grace and a bounty from Allah, and that Allah will not waste the reward of the believers. Subhanallah. Never ever will Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala waste, will He? Never ever will He waste the reward of the believers. Those who answered the call of Allah and the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam after being wounded, for those of them who did good deeds and feared Allah, there is a great reward, subhanallah. Sisters, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is reassuring us all that look, this is the reward. What did we see in that beautiful hadith? What happens to the martyrs? How do they spend their barzakh, their time after leaving this dunya? The in-between time between. Barzakh is the time between the world and the day of resurrection. Good. Excellent, Sister Sadia. So where do they spend their time, the martyrs? As birds. Did anyone say the colour? Green birds. We learnt from that hadith, remember? Those believers unto whom the people, hypocrites, said, verily the people, pagans, have gathered against you a great army. This is when that rumour came again, remember? That he's coming back with a great army. So distractions, again, rumours, propaganda. Does it happen today? Did it happen then? What's Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala telling the believers to do? Exactly. Hold firm. Don't lose heart. Remain calm. Verse 173. Those believers unto whom the believers, hypocrites, said, verily the pagans have gathered against you a great army. Therefore fear them. Get scared. Get worried. Come on. But only increase them in faith. And what did the believers say? This is a problem today, because we weren't believing in the first place, because we were flimsy, we faltered and we fell. We weakened. But those with faith, they strengthen. What happened to them? It only highlight this, please. It only increased them in faith. And they said, Allah alone is sufficient for us. They said, Hasbunallahu wa ni'mal waqeel. And they said, Allah alone is sufficient for us, and He is the best disposer of affairs. So they returned with grace and bounty from Allah. No harm touched them, and they followed the good pleasure of Allah. And Allah is the owner of great bounty. It is only shaitan that suggests to you the fear of his supporters and friends. Islamophobia is from shaitan. Subhanallah. See how this defines what's going on around us today, verse 175. Can we all read this together, please? So it really goes in. Let's read the English. It is only...
Shaitan.
Read it together. Let's read it together. It is only shaitan that suggests to you the fear of his awliya, supporters and friends, polytheists, disbelievers in the oneness of Allah and in His Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So fear them not, but fear me if you are true believers. Highlight the end of that ayah, please. So fear them not, but fear me. Next time you're afraid what your friend might say if you wear an abaya. Next time you're afraid what your work people might say if you go for salah, remember this ayah. So fear them not, but fear me, if you are true believers. And let not those grieve you, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who rush with haste to disbelieve. So those who, you see, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was going to feel hurt and upset when they wouldn't listen. But look. How Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is reassuring the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who rush with haste to disbelieve. Verily not the least harm will they do to Allah. It is Allah's will to give them no portion in the hereafter. For them there is a great torment. Verily those who purchase disbelief Verily those who purchase disbelief at the price of faith, not the least harm will they do to Allah, for them there is a painful torment. And let not the disbelievers think that our postponing of their punishment is good for them. We postpone, remember? We postpone the punishment only so that they may increase in their wrongdoings, in sinfulness. And for them is a disgracing torment. This again reflects Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala telling us that those people who you think are doing wrong, but getting away with it, I'm only letting them get away with it for a time so that they can do what they want. Allah will not leave the believers in the state in which you are now until He distinguishes the wicked from the good. Nor will Allah disclose to you the secrets of the ghaib, the unseen. But Allah chooses of His messengers whom He wills. Thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He's chosen us to listen to the Quran. So believe in Allah and His messengers. And if you believe and fear Allah, then for you there is a great reward. So once you believe and fear Allah, can you do anything out of line? And what does this then result in? This is taqwa. See, I need you here for taqwa. Sisters, if you believe and fear Allah, then for you there is a great reward. Subhanallah. And let not those who covetously withhold of that which Allah has bestowed on them of His bounty think that it is good for them. And so they do not pay the obligatory zakah. Nay, it will be worse for them. Sisters, again, we're into the month of Rajab. Can I remind you all, sort your zakah out so you pay it on time. ASAP. Nay, it will be worse for them the things which they covetously withheld shall be tied to their necks like a collar on the day of resurrection. So we have it in the hadith that I've told you to write for homework, and we have it here in the ayah as well. And to Allah belongs the heritage of the heavens and the earth, and Allah is well acquainted. Allah is well acquainted with all that you do. So you can't pretend that He doesn't know. You'll get away with it. He knows, and He will test us. Either in some way on the dunya, in akhirah. And truly, nobody wants to be tested there, do they? Indeed, Allah has heard the statement of those Jews who say, truly Allah is poor and we are rich. Astaghfirullah. We shall record what they have said, and their killing of the prophets unjustly. And we shall say, taste you the torment of the burning fire. This is because of that evil which your hands have sent before you. And certainly Allah is never unjust to His slaves. As we approach the end of Surah Ali Imran, verse 183, those Jews who said, verily Allah has taken our promise not to believe in any messenger unless He brings to us an offering which the fire shall devour, say, verily there came to you messengers before me with clear signs, and even with what you speak of, why then did you kill them? Subhanallah. Allah Ta'ala is now asking the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam to question them. Look, they gave you the truth, and you sort of said that you believed in them, but you still killed them. Then why did you kill them? If you are truthful. Then if they reject you, O Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, so were messengers rejected before you came with Al-Bayyinah, and the scripture and the book of enlightenment. How would you describe these last two ayahs for the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam in particular? Not just guiding, I wouldn't say guiding. Encouraging, excellent, yes. Encouraging, reassuring, consoling. Look, don't worry, you're doing your job. Again, we can just try. Pass on the message. You can just try. You're doing your job, but look, this is what they did before. And then for those who are rejecting and denying all the time, ignoring Allah Ta'ala saying this crucial line again. Everyone shall taste death. Verse 185. Kullu nafsin dha'ikatul maut. Everyone shall taste death. And only on the day of resurrection shall you be paid your wages in full. And whoever is removed away from the fire and admitted to paradise, he indeed is successful. We all want to be successful, don't we? Allah Ta'ala is giving us the true definition of successful here. The true successful is the one who is away from the fire and admitted to paradise. The life of this world is only the enjoyment of deception. You shall certainly be tried and tested in your wealth and properties and in your personal selves. And you shall certainly hear much that will grieve you from those who receive the scripture before you. Subhanallah. So is this when we hear this on the media and on the news, is it something new? Is it something new? No. You shall certainly hear much. Constantly Allah Ta'ala is reminding us in the ayahs of the Quran, why do we get all disturbed? Why do people spend hours and hours on the news? Because they don't know about these ayahs and this reassurance and encouragement from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That they will certainly test you. And you will certainly hear loads of grief from them. You will certainly hear much that will grieve you. In other words, you will get grief. But what to do from those who receive the scripture before you and from those who ascribe partners to Allah, those who do shirk, but what should you do? React? Should you react, sisters? Can I have answers loud and clear? Should we react?
No.
If they have a protest, should we have a bigger protest? No. What should we do? What does it say? What's the important word in this verse? Persevere. Persevere. Be patient. But if you persevere patiently and become al-muttaqeen, then verily that will be a determining factor in all affairs. And that is from the great matters which you must hold on with all your efforts to remain calm, to be patient. Somebody says anything to you, do this. Seal your lips with glue and smile. And just smile. And inside, just say, And remember when Allah took a covenant from those who were given the scripture to make it the news of the coming of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and the religious knowledge known and clear to mankind, and not to hide it. Not to hide it. This is the problem today when we hide the facts. That's why you all have the Mus'haf in front of you. You're all reading yourselves, aren't you? What are you reading, girls, everybody? The Holy Quran. Because they hid it. They would not give the copy to everybody. They threw it away behind their backs, ignoring it, and purchased with it some miserable gain. And indeed, worst is that which they bought. Think not that those who rejoice in what they have done and love to be praised for what they have not done. Think not you that they are rescued from the torment. Okay? So you know when somebody outwardly might look like he's doing really well, but he's a disbeliever, or not listening to the ayahs, not abiding by Allah's commands. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saying here, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saying, think not that they are rescued from the torment. For them is a painful torment. And to Allah belongs the dominion of the heavens and the earth. And Allah has power over all things. So as the surah is being concluded, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is reminding all of us. Who is he? Why? Why are we doing all this? Who is he? He's the greatest. He is the king of the dominion. وَلِلَّهِ مُلْكُ السَّمَاوَاتِ Verily, in the creation of the heavens and the earth and in the alternation of night and day, there are indeed signs for men of understanding. Sisters, truly, all of us, hands up if you wish to be intelligent. Hands up if you wish to be intelligent. Hands up if anybody's ever called you, you're thick and you don't know anything. I'm sure we've all had it. You, Elsa, you've never been called that. Sorry? Nowadays. Allah Ta'ala is telling us, indeed, signs for men of understanding, the ones who reflect upon Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala's universe, subhanallah. And what a better way of reflecting with opening the Quran and listening to his ayah, sisters. Do dua that Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala makes this journey easy and smooth for all of us, inshallah. And accept it from us as well. Remember the prayer of Ibrahim alayhi salam and Ismail alayhi salam. They're building the Kaaba and they say, Ya Rabbi, accept this duty from me. Never think it's big. Astaghfirullah. Look at this. Verily, in the creation of the heavens and the earth, the last 10 verses as we start, the last part of Surah Al Imran. What is special about these last 10 verses, please? The du'as and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would recite them at tahajjud time. Excellent, well done. So let's look at this together. Verse 190, verily in the creation of the heavens and the earth and in the alternation of night and day, there are indeed signs for men of understanding. Those who remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala always and in prayers, standing, sitting and lying down on their sides. And think deeply about the creation of the heavens and the earth. Our Lord, you have not created all this without purpose. Glory to you, exalted, subhanAllah, you above all that they associate with you as partners. Give us salvation from the torment of the fire. Our Lord, verily whom you admit to the fire, indeed you have disgraced him, and never will the Zalimun find any helpers. Our Lord, verily we have heard the call of one calling to faith. Believe in your Lord, and we have believed our Lord. Forgive us our sins, and expiate from us our evil deeds. And make us die in the state of the righteous along with the al-abrar, the pious and the righteous. And du'as and du'as and du'as. Du'as that we all need. It's like insurance policies coming out of the Quran. Can anybody go astray with these du'as? Can anybody be disturbed or upset? Our Lord, grant us what you promised to us through your messengers and disgrace us not, Ya Rabbi, Ya Rabbi. Don't disgrace us. Don't humiliate us neither in the dunya or the akhirah. This is what it means. Our Lord, grant us what you have promised us unto us through your messengers and disgrace us not on the day of resurrection. For you never break your promise. So their Lord, subhanAllah. So they begged and they begged like this. And look at the beauty then. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reassures all of us. They begged and begged. And then Allah ta'ala accepted of them. So their Lord accepted of them their supplication and answered them. Never will I allow to be lost the work of any of you. Just the men or the women? Nah. Any of you, be he male or female. Equal opportunities. No sexual discrimination. No sexual discrimination. You're all the same. I will not let it go wasted. You are members one of another. So those who emigrated and were driven out from their homes and suffered harm in my cause and who fought and were killed in my cause, verily I will expiate from them their evil deeds. What's another word for expiate? Remove, good. I will expiate from them their evil deeds and admit them into gardens under which rivers flow. A reward from Allah. And with Allah is the best of rewards, subhanAllah. Best of nations and best of rewards. What a wonderful feeling. Let not the free disposal and affluence of the disbelievers throughout the land deceive you. Again, sisters, if you find it hard to train your children or your family or anyone, highlight verse 196. That Allah Ta'ala says in the Quran, let not the free disposal there, do what they like, go where they please, drink, be merry, for tomorrow you will die. Let this not deceive you. A brief enjoyment, and verse 197, a brief enjoyment then, their ultimate abode is home, is hell, and worst indeed is that place for rest. But for those who fear their Lord are gardens under which rivers flow in paradise. Therein are they to dwell forever. An entertainment from Allah. And that which is with Allah is the best for al-Abrar. And there are certainly among the people of the scripture those who believe in Allah and in that in which has been revealed to you. And in that which has been revealed to you and in that which has been revealed to them, humbling themselves before Allah. They do not sell the verses of Allah for a little price. For them is a reward with their Lord. Surely Allah is swift in account. Sari'ul Hisab. He is quick to reckon. The last verse of this wonderful surah. O you who believe, endure and be more patient. Endure meaning steadfast, remain steadfast. Endure and be more patient. And guard your territory by stationing army units permanently at the places from where the enemy can attack you. And fear Allah so that you may be successful. Ameen to all the dwells. As we come to the end of the juz, we start Surah An-Nisa, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala finishes Surah Al-Imran with Fear Allah and starts Surah An-Nisa. This is a wonderful bridge between two big surahs. Sisters, Surah An-Nisa means what? You tell me. What does it mean? Women. Is there a surah called the men in the Quran? Is there not? Al-Rijal, no? Never heard of it?
No.
Neither have I. Alhamdulillah. Sisters, aren't we blessed to be women? And be believing women. And we have a surah named after us. The fourth surah of the Quran, revealed at Medina after the Battle of Uhud, dealing with the situation of the martyrs. Because there were 70 shuhada due to the mayhem at Uhud, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed these verses to deal with the rulings for the orphans and the widows and inheritance laws. I begin in the name of Allah, the most gracious, the most merciful. O mankind, be dutiful to your Lord, who created you from a single person and from him, Adam. He created his wife, Hawa, Eve, and from them both he created many men and women, and fear Allah, through whom you demand your mutual rights. And do not cut the relations of the wombs of your kinship. Surely Allah is ever an all-watcher over you. Subhanallah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us to keep our what? What's the other word for this? Family ties, excellent. And give unto orphans their property, and do not exchange your bad things for their good ones. Endeavour not their substance by adding it to your substance. Do not gobble up their money, their food, their wealth, by saying it's all of ours. Surely this is a great sin. And if you fear that you shall not be able to deal justly with the orphan girls, then marry other women of your choice, 2 or 3 or 4. But if you fear that you shall not be able to deal justly with them, then only one, all that your right hands possess, that is nearer to prevent you from doing injustice. Sisters, we know from the hadith that the Prophet ﷺ said, any man who has married more than once, has otherwise and deals unjustly with them, he will come with half a body on the day on the day of resurrection. And give to the women, these are now the nikah conditions, the conditions of nikah, marriage in Islam. And give to women whom you marry their mahar, their obligatory. Do you see this word, obligatory? Bridal money given by the husband to his wife at the time of marriage. With a good heart. See how all these, every word is so important. Not in a grudge, not in a grump, but with a good heart. Happily. But if they, of their own good pleasure, remit. What's the word, another word for remit? Sister Adesia, what does remit mean?
Let go, leave it.
Yeah, excellent. Let you off, let go, leave it. Remit any part of it to you, take it. And enjoy it without fear of any harm, as Allah has made it lawful. And give not unto the foolish your property which Allah has made a means of support for you, but feed and clothe them with it. So if you have a foolish wife, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling the men how to deal with her. If she's going to spend all her budget in 2 weeks instead of 4 weeks, then okay, give her the money and give her the, sorry, bring her the what? Two things, bring them home to her. Two things, what's he bringing home to her? Food and clothing, exactly. Then feed and clothe them with it and speak to them words of kindness and justice. And try orphans as regards their intelligence until they reach the age of marriage. If then you find sound judgment in them, release their property to them. Again, so they don't waste it. Because if a child who's not at the age of maturity is given too much wealth, what will they spend it on? Sweets and games. A youngster, a youth could go and buy himself a new car. But truly, it's not sound judgment, is it? Then release their property to them, but consume it not wastefully and hastily, fearing that they should grow up, and whoever amongst guardians is rich, he should take no wages. But if he is poor out of the guardians, then he's allowed. Do you see the difference? So again, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is warning the guardians not to waste their money, not to spend it all by the time they've grown up. And then say, I'm sorry, it's all been used on your expenditure, on your fees. Wrong. And if anybody is well off, are they allowed to take any income out of it?
No.
But if they are poor and needy, then are they? Yes. But if he is poor, let him have for himself what is just and reasonable, according to his labor. And when you release their property to them, take witness in their presence, and Allah is all sufficient in taking account. There is a share for men and a share for women. So subhanAllah, who says we don't have equal rights in Islam? Who says that the women are oppressed in Islam? Well, maybe we can open up Surah An-Nisa in front of them then. Subhanallah. There's a share for men and a share for women. Because remember in the olden days there was no share for women. And the theory and the hikmah we looked in tafsir, there's a lot of wisdom behind the double share and the half share, the less share. Breadwinner and not breadwinner. Do you see the difference? Sisters, Allah Ta'ala says that there's a share for men and a share for women from what is left by parents and those nearest related. Whether the property be small or large, a legal share. And when the relatives and the orphans, the masakin, the poor are present at the time of division, give them out of the property and speak to them words of kindness. Speak to them words of kindness and justice. And let those executors and guardians have the same fear in their minds as they would have for their own if they had left weak offspring behind. Who's this warning to? Who's this warning to? That what? You are blessed that you are not leaving behind. Exactly. That you are the givers. It could have been your children who were the orphans today. Do you follow? So let them fear Allah and speak right words. Verily, indeed, verily, those who unjustly eat up the property of orphans, They eat of only fire into their bellies, and they will be burnt in the blazing fire. Allah commands you as regards your children's inheritance, to the male a portion equal to that of two females. If they are only daughters, two or more, their share is 2/3 of the inheritance. If only one, her share is a half. For parents, a 6th share of inheritance to each. If the deceased left children, if no children and their parents are there, only heirs, the mother has a 3rd. The mother has a 3rd. If the deceased left brothers, the mother has a 6th. The distribution in all cases is after the payment of legacies. Legacies he may have bequeathed or debts. You know not which of them, whether your parents or your children, are nearest to you in benefit. These 6 shares are ordained by Allah, and Allah is ever all knower, all wise. In that which your wives leave, your share is a half. If they have no child, but if they leave a child, you get a 4th of that which they leave after payment of legacies. When we did the seed in detail, what were these legacies? Funeral payments, yes, payment for the funeral, any debts, okay? After payment of legacies, that they may have bequeathed or debts. In that which you leave there, your wife's share is a 4th. If you leave no child, or if you leave a child, they get an 8th of that which you leave after payment of legacies. Every time it's the same thing, that you may have bequeathed or debts. If the man or woman whose inheritance is in question has left neither ascendants nor descendants, okay, but has left a brother or a sister, each one of the two gets a 6th. Each one of the two gets 6th, but if more than 2, they share in a 3rd. After payment of legacies, he or she may have bequeathed or debts, so that no loss is caused to anyone. This is a commandment from Allah, and Allah is ever all-knowing, most forbearing. These are the limits of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. These are the limits set by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And whosoever obeys Allah's commands and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will be admitted to gardens under which rivers flow, to abide in it, and that will be the great success. That is the one who obeys. Verse 14 tells us, and whosoever disobeys Allah, and His Messenger, Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and transgresses his limits, he will cast him into the fire to abide in it, and he shall have a disgraceful torment. And those of your women who commit illegal sexual intercourse, take the evidence of 4 witnesses, of 4 witnesses from amongst you against them. And if they testify, confine them to houses until death comes to them. Until death comes to them, or Allah ordains for them some other way. And the 2 persons, man and woman, among you who commit illegal sexual intercourse, hurt them both. And if they repent, promise Allah that they will never repeat and do righteous good deeds, leave them alone. Surely Allah is ever all forgiving, the one who forgives and accepts repentance, and He is most merciful. SubhanAllah. Even after such a big sin of adultery, Allah Ta'ala is saying, repent. He is most merciful. He is the one who accepts repentance. Who are we to blame anyone? Anyone of us, if we feel we've sinned, what do? We turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if anyone comes to us and says that, tell them to turn to Allah. You don't need to know what they've done. Forget it. Leave it. It's not like in other religions that they have to go and confess to a person. Repent before Allah. Because look, Allah accepts only the repentance of those who do evil in ignorance and foolishness and repent soon afterwards. It is they whom Allah will forgive, and Allah is ever all-knower, all-wise, subhanAllah. And of no effect is the repentance of those and of no effect is the repentance of those who continue to do evil deeds until death faces one of them. So constantly doing sin after sin after sin. No effect is the repentance of those who continue to do evil deeds. Allah Ta'ala, again, is it clear or is it not clear? Is it clear?
Yes.
So if you constantly carry on doing, give me a sin that is common in today's society.
Backbiting.
If you're going to backbite and then do tawbah, 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 and then carry on backbiting, do you think Allah Ta'ala is going to forgive that sin? Those who continue to do evil deeds until death faces one of them. And he says, now I repent, nor of those who die while they are disbelievers. For them we have prepared a painful torment. Frightening, but true. O you who believe, you are forbidden to inherit women against their will. Forced marriages in Islam, does it say that here? Forced inheritance of women, is it allowed in Islam? No. No way. O you who believe, you are forbidden to inherit women against their will, and you should not treat them with harshness. And you may take away you should not treat them with harshness, that you may take away part of the mahar you have given them, unless they commit open and legal sexual intercourse and live with them honorably. If you dislike them, it may be that you dislike a thing and Allah brings through it a great deal of good. But if you intend to replace a wife by another, you have given one of them a kintar, like loads and loads of gold. Are you allowed to take it back? Are you allowed to take it back? No. Even if you've given them a kintar of gold, i.e. a great amount of mahar, take not the least bit of it back. Would you take it wrongfully without a right? With a manifest sin. And how could you take it back while you have gone in unto each other? What is this describing in a discreet manner? What's Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describing here in verse 21? Marital relationships. Good. And they have taken from you a firm and strong covenant. And marry not women whom your fathers married, except what has already passed. Indeed, it was shameful and most hateful and an evil way. Allahu Akbar. Again, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saying, if it's happened before, then fine. But don't let it happen now. Before, you're in a time of ignorance. You didn't know. You didn't open up the ayahs of the Quran. But now that you have, don't let it happen again. As we approach the last verse of this juz, verse 23, forbidden to you for marriage all the mahram relationships that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forbids. Forbidden to you for marriage are your mothers, your daughters, your sisters, your father's sisters. Who are they? Your aunts, your mother's sisters, your khala, your brother's daughters, your nieces, your sister's daughters, your nieces, your foster mothers who gave you suk, your foster milk suckling sisters, your foster milk suckling sisters, your wife's mothers, who's that in other words? Mother-in-laws. Your stepdaughters under your guardianship, born of your wives to whom you have gone in, but there is no sin on you if you have not gone in them to marry their daughters. That is your stepdaughters, yes? The wives of your sons, who's that? Daughter-in-laws. The wives of your sons who spring from your own loins. And two sisters in wedlock at the same time, except for what has already passed. Verily, Allah is oft forgiving, most merciful. Inna Allaha kana ghafurur rahima. Subhanallah. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. All praise and thanks to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as we come to the end of Juz 4. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept our tiny efforts, inshallah, and allow us to implement and act upon the ayahs of the Quran as we study them. آمين. ربنا تقبل منا إنك أنت السميع العليم، وتوب علينا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم. سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون، والسلام على المرسلين، والحمد لله رب العالمين. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.